let's continue to pray for those that may or may not be on their way, and we'll go ahead and move forward. Amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started today. Before we get to our announcements, we're going to have a special from Sister Katie. Amen. Thank you, Sister Katie.
Okay, I'm just going to do 1 and 4. Okay. If you guys can go ahead and sing along if you want to sing along. 542, number 1 and number 4. Yes, red. Right. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Thank you, wife. Appreciate you. Appreciate your love. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, guys. Let's go ahead and wait for Sister Katie, little church, and then you guys can get going. If you guys don't mind, just go ahead and wait for Sister Katie, and then you guys can be dismissed to our little church service. Want to thank God for all of you who made it here today. Want to thank God for our visitor. We got Jamie in the house. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. We met him a while back when we were downtown soul winning at the Thursday Sunset Market Outreach, and just introduced myself as a friend. You guys already know Brother Carlos. When we go downtown, we're just here to let people know we're here for them in the faith, to help them grow, to be a better Christian, and to offer discipleship. So we've kept correspondence praying for him, and I'm glad to see you here, Jamie. So I hope today you enjoy our service. Amen. All right, guys, we're just going to go over some quick announcements. Y'all already know. Just going to look up to the screen for now. And we'll continue from here. So as you guys know, on our calendar, we let you know what we're going to do throughout the week. Yesterday, we had a great time soul winning. So every Saturday, we do our best to evangelize within our city, to reach people for Jesus, to tell them how to get saved, invite them to church for discipleship. And then eventually, if they obviously come to church here, we can eventually baptize them, help them to grow in the faith. So we do that every Saturday. We meet here at the church at 10 o'clock. We pray, get our tracts, and we go door knocking for about an hour and a half to two, take a lunch break, and then we go downtown at the beach, do a little bit more, but the public outreach. And then every other Thursday, we do the very same thing. That's where we met Jamie downtown. We go from about 5 to 6:30. So this next Thursday will be our day off. And then next Saturday, we're taking a day off as well on the 21st, because we're going to go back to La Puente up north to help out a church friend of ours with their sound and their audio and fellowship. I let some of you guys know last year, if you wanted to travel with us, you're more than welcome to go. If you want to meet some new Christian friends and just have a great time. So we want to invite you if you want to make time. It's about an hour and a half away. It'll pretty much be an all-day thing. If any of our church members want to go, we will make sure that you're taken care of for lunch and dinner. So I always want to encourage our church members to come with your, if you will, your pastor in love, and also my wife, so we can just introduce you to more Christians, stir you up, and it's like little mini mission trips that you guys can have. That's going to help you, amen. So I want to let you know, on the 21st, next Saturday, Our evangelism outreach is canceled. We're going to be going up north. If you want to go, please join us. Friday night discipleship, we'll be here. And if you guys want to come back for our discipleship, we'll be here. And our Wednesday service as well. Amen. So here we have our ministry opportunities when we click here. And this just shows a little bit of what we do. So as you guys know, as Christians, Jesus tells us to go into the world and preach the gospel. Well, how did they do it? They went house to house and they went publicly. And so we try our best as a Bible-based church to do the same thing and follow the pattern. We go house to house and we go publicly. And so yesterday, my wife and I just want to share with you guys know and love. We had a great time doing that. My wife and I, we got together right there. If you guys know where Mainsail is by Buddy Todd Park, if you guys just drive up there and you go up the little hill and before you keep going down to go to El Camino, there's a nice little area right there, right? So that's where we're starting our new neighborhood. And here's the other side of it, if you will. It's really beautiful. It was a really nice day. We had a great time. So here's what happens. Every other Saturday when we go soul winning, just like I was sharing with a young couple here the other night, one of us is stronger and one of us has to be the stronger one to encourage each other on the way. Guess who was the stronger one yesterday? Anybody? Sister Katie. Here's what happens. I'm just going to be Brother Carlos on the reel. All right, we go over there in those neighborhoods, and they're really nice neighborhoods. They're what we call from the barrio ricos, you know, a little wealthy, if you will. And I kind of felt intimidated, y'all, because I'm coming up to these homes. They're so nice. They're big, big old driveways. And I'm like, man, here we are, just this, you know, not, if you will, fancy little couple here and just trying to tell them about church. And who knows if they might even want to be interested because, you know, they're pretty well off. Well, I was wrong. And number two, Katie was the one who encouraged me. So as we're walking on the street, we're knocking on doors. We had a couple of great interactions. And as we're about to walk into this big driveway to go knock on these two beautiful homes, the homeowner was just driving in. And that's always a little awkward and shy. You're about to go and knock on their door and they're kind of driving in. Like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, oh, Katie, let's just go. Let's just go. She's like, no, come on. We came on here. Let's go do it. I'm like, hey, all right, let's go. So we went. Guys, we had a great time to share the gospel with her. And she was a professed Catholic, if you will. So I had a chance to ask her about the assurance of her salvation. I just said, ma'am, if you were to die tonight, God forbid, how do you know as a Catholic that you're going to go straight to heaven? She said, I don't know. I said, ma'am, do you mind if I just share with you from the Bible how you can have assurance? She allowed us a chance to share with her the gospel. So we're going to keep her in prayer. And guys, it was great. But I'm telling y'all, Sister Katie was strong. She was on fire for Brother Carlos. I was intimidated. I'm just being honest. See, it happens every so often. So we finished. We went all the way down and we're walking up. It was supposed to rain, right? You guys remember that? The projection, it was supposed to pour down. It started right at like 11:55. So we're down the street, guys, and we're walking up back to the car. And I'm like, oh, Katie, it's starting to rain. Let's just go back to the car. Katie says, really? We might as well just tag these houses on our way back to the car. I'm like, wow, Katie, got to be spiritual over here, amen. Let's tag the houses. And I'm all shy. And I'm like, all right, let's just do it. So, guys, on our way back to the car, we're tagging houses. We're not knocking. We're just quickly putting in the flyer. So yesterday, I'm very proud of my wife. As you guys can see, it's a team effort. Sometimes the husband may not be as zealous. Maybe the wife is, and vice versa, the wife and the husband. But notice how we both have a love for Jesus, and that's what compels us to want to do it. So I just want to encourage you, church. All of us are commanded to go into the world. All of us are commanded to soul win. Try to join your church to do it together, and you never know when your spirit just refreshes the person next to you to want to do it too. So I just want to say thank God for my wife, and we had a great time. Unfortunately, I will say we talked to two Catholics, and we asked them the same question. If they want to have assurance, they both said no. They said, I don't want to know how to to go to heaven. It was real sad. So I just want to encourage you, keep us in prayer. I know some of you guys work, and for those of you who don't, please join us. And if you can, and if you can't, then please pray for us. I sure appreciate that. All right, so that's what we do for our evangelism, if you will, Saturdays, downtown, everything else, et cetera, et cetera. We also have study blogs. If you ever want to just have a little study for your extra Bible growth, you can do so here. We just post up some different articles to help you to learn more about your Bible. Live stream links, we're currently going through Facebook or YouTube. So if you have social media, please don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you'd like. And then lastly, giving opportunities. If you're a member of this church, hope you are. And if you're a Christian in general, hope you are. Just know that yes, God does, if you will, give you commands to support your church with the finances that he blesses you with for the needs of it. And so we give you a couple of verses that when you come to church on Sundays, the Lord gave you a command, lay aside, every one of you in store, what God hath prospered you. That's your finances. 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a cheerful giver. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. But notice, church, every man according as he what? Purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So, as you guys know, we don't pass the hat around here, and I don't preach tithing. It's what you say, God, I want to give this to you with a happy heart. If it's $5, give it with a happy heart. If it's $10, give it to the heart. If it's $100, whatever that means, I'm just telling you, what God is looking for in you today as a child of his is, where is your heart at? Are you doing it with joy? Are you doing it graciously? He'll take care of you proportionally. The more you give with a good heart, notice what he said. The less you give, notice what he said. So again, just take care of that between you and the Lord. You guys already know that. It's a personal thing. And lastly, when you say, Brother Carlos, how do I know if God will actually take care of my need if I'm being obedient in my finances? Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. So trust God, whatever that means, you all can do it. There's a box back there, and then you can do it online through PayPal, et cetera, et cetera. Amen. All right, guys. So that is our announcements. Again, we're just thankful to see folks here today. All right, guys, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter number 4. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to get back on our Bible train. For those of you who know, we have been teaching the Bible book of Galatians verse by verse. We've been teaching this book, going through the Word of God together as a church family, verse by verse. Every so often, yeah, we do a topical message, but you won't benefit as much from topical messages as much as you would from a verse-by-verse study, because when you go through a verse-by-verse study of the Bible, it's going to teach you the whole Bible. It's going to introduce to you the whole Scripture. It's going to show you everything that God intended for you to learn from each of those books. So we try at our church to do that. We want to feed you all the Word of God. We want to give you all the Word of God the best we can when we can. And so today, that's what we're doing. We're in the book of Galatians as a church family, studying this book together as a whole. And we hope today that you'll be edified and receive something from it today. Okay, so let's go ahead and read together now the verses. We're going to try our best to cover verses 1 through 11. And then we'll come back and pray and talk about what we have in our notes. All right, starting in verse 1, Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Last verse, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor and vain. Let's pray. Father, I thank you once again for the Word of God. Lord, I know we're trying our best to minister to English and Spanish today. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give me the ability and our church members to help teach and translate this message to everybody here that they can understand the best way they can. But God, where I have a human error in my presentation, I pray your Holy Spirit would minister to every spirit here as they read the Bible. And I pray that you would enlighten their eyes this afternoon to see Christ from the pages of Scripture, see where they're wrong, see where they're doing right, so that way they can continue to follow you from what they're going to learn today from the Scripture. So I thank you, God, for every soul that's here today. I pray that you would have your way here in our midst. God, we invite you. Please forgive me once again of any sins I've committed, and help me to work effectually from the freedom that Christ hath made me free. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's talk about some key words today, friend. And I'm gonna try my best to translate in Spanish in those certain areas. So I do appreciate you guys to do that. I'm gonna predominantly, though, focus in English just for today's message, because there's a lot of important stuff. I'll try my best to get them in Spanish later on and maybe have a one-on-one with our friend there. But here's some keywords we need to see in the book of Galatians chapter 4. Number one, the word heir. You see that in verse 1. Number two, the word servant. Do you see that in verse 1? Number three, the word children. Do you see there? And verse number 3, the elements of the world. The word law. The word adoption of sons. Promise, bondwoman, free, flesh. We need to remind you of two important reminders of this afternoon concerning our theme that we observe and are gathering so far in the book of Galatians, especially as we move forward in our verse-by-verse study. So here it is, point number one that we need to be reminded of. Jews and Gentiles could never be saved or justified by the works of the law or deeds thereby. Go with me now to Galatians chapter 2. Let's read this together. And if I go through these quickly, it's okay. Just forbear with me because we have a lot of scripture to go through today for today's message. So look, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16. Don't be shy to just look up to the screen and that's all right. So point number one, what we need to understand from the theme of Galatians is Jews and Gentiles could never be saved or justified by the works of the law or deeds thereby, that is, my good works or me trying to be a good person. The Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So here we have the apostle speaking on behalf of Israel as a Jew. So what did he just tell these Christians in the land of Galatia? We as Jews cannot be justified by that. And then he's going to address the Gentiles in chapter 4. You as well could not be justified that. So why are you trying to return back to something that could never justify you? Why are you returning back to what he said in Galatians 4, the weak and beggarly elements of this world, or what he says later, the bondage? So what does the law do? It condemns a Jew of his or her sin. It condemns you, Gentile, of your sin. It keeps you in bondage. Today, what we're going to learn about is in Galatians chapter 4, if you become a Christian, you are no longer a servant underneath the law's bondage, but you become an heir. And when you are growing up in a household, now we don't have that today in the United States of America, but over the centuries, there have been households that have a, if you will, servants serving them. And then you have children of the parents of the household. Those are the heirs of the estate. So they're growing up together. You have the servant that serves the owners and the children, and then you have the heirs of that estate, the actual children themselves. So what we're going to learn today, friend, is that even though the Jews, by covenant of Abraham and the promise, they were the heirs of all that, they were still living as servants underneath the bondage of the law's condemnation. But what can free them is the faith of Jesus Christ, Galatians 2:16. So they no longer have to live underneath that, if you will, servant state underneath the law's condemnation. They can live as free heirs in Christ. Same thing for the Gentile. So today that's going to be, if you will, the direction of our message. So point number two, Jews or Gentiles who convert to Christ become Christians, and their new identity in Christ, that is, in the Son of God, is no longer a part of their former first-birth identity or previous religious affiliations or cultures, because Christ, the Son of God, makes them free from the things of this world. So what does that mean? My first birth as a Mexican is no longer a part of my identity in Christ before God the Father. Your first birth here today, whoever you are, whether you're a black man, a white man, a green man, American, Mexican, Asian, whatever that might mean, after you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you are positionally in Christ, you are adopted in Christ. Your first birth identity with all your culture and all your religion has nothing to do with the faith of the Son of God. And that's not going to help you if you want to continue with traditions or things from your former life to become a better child of God. And we've been learning that together. But let me show you the Bible so that way you can see what I'm telling you is right. Go back with me to Galatians chapter 1 and then look at verse 4. And then we will go to Galatians chapter 5. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse number 4. And then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our what? Sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So to the Jew, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he was given by Almighty Jehovah to deliver you from your sins what the law could not do for you. The law cannot deliver a Jew from his or her sinful heart, sinful desires. But having a personal relationship with Jesus, that can do it for them. Gentile out here, whoever you are, the black man, the green man, the white man, the Mexican, you are out there living amok under your religious culture, whether it was the Aztec identity, the Chicano identity, or some of you just said, Brother Carlos, I was just a supposed atheist, or if you will, living as an agnostic, whatever that means for you. I just want to let you know that chicken soup for the soul and Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey and Google and all those things that you try to find relief from evil, that could not deliver your sins. They can deliver your heart from the sinful world. But this man, the Son of God, he can. So two things that Christ offers the sinner. One, salvation, and two, deliverance from sin. So if you came to church today with that desire to learn more about Jesus and to be more like Jesus, I just need for you to know he does not want you to continue living in sin. He wants to deliver you from sinful living. That's the will of God for your life today. You say, Brother Carlos, I haven't been to church in a minute. That's all right. You can start right now letting Jesus do what he wants to do within your life because he loves you. He gave himself for you. All right, now let's go to chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. Look at with me in verse number 6. The Bible says, for in Jesus Christ. Notice, we're not even talking about the church we attend. We're not here to exalt traditions of the Baptist church or whatever that might mean, or denominationism. Look at in the Son of God, in the person of Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So what is he going to teach us in Galatians 4? For the Jew who thinks that circumcision makes them more spiritual, it doesn't. For the Gentile, you avoiding certain things and eating certain foods and perhaps certain things, that doesn't make you a better child of God. But what makes you a better child of God today, friend? Faith, which works by what? Love. But who produces that in you? Jesus Christ. Notice verse 6, in Christ. So today, what's going to help you to become a better child of God? It's not even your works. It's not you trying to tame or discipline your own flesh. It's faith working by love that Christ motivates and stirs within you. Amen. Go down with me to verse number 13. The Bible says here, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But what does it say, church? But by love serve one another. You know what helps you be a better Christian? Serving others. Serving others. And what is it motivated by? Love, not the law. Do you see there? The law demands you. The law requires for you of you to do a certain thing with your body. And if you don't, the law condemns you guilty. But Jesus sets you free. You're no longer under that condemnation. He gives you now the ability to willingly want to do what the law is asking of you to do, which is to just treat somebody better than yourself, to love somebody better than yourself. But that's only going to be possible with Jesus leading you and guiding you to do it. Go down with me a little bit later. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some of you today are struggling in your Christian walk with God, whether that's a foul mouth, profanity, drinking alcohol, watching pornography, doing things that you shouldn't do. What do I want to encourage you with? The same Jesus that you asked to save you years ago, the same Jesus that you got publicly baptized underneath his name, the same Jesus that you prayed to every once in a while, is the same Jesus who can help you to say no to the lust in your flesh. But if you think that a work is going to help you to do that, it's not. If you think the law is going to help you to do that, it's not. If you think that certain human disciplines are going to assist you in doing that, they're not going to do it. It's the personal relationship that you have with him and him with you that's going to help you to say no to the flesh. So what are we talking about? Your former religion, your former or current culture cannot help you to grow in the faith of Christ. They or those things cannot help you to resist sin or help you to grow out of sinful behaviors or habits. So brethren and sisters today, some of you are Mexicanos coming out of the Mexicano culture. Some of you with the American cultures coming up and growing up from the youth up. You had the celebrations going up. There's nothing wrong with birthday parties, but some of you guys had the Christmas holiday. You had the Easter holiday. You had the whatever holiday you want to celebrate with the bread and the little toy in there. If you find it, you have a party. Whatever that means to you today, whatever that means, whatever you grew up with. If you try to say, if I continue honoring those traditions and holidays, you know, Halloween, no Halloween, watching Disney, no Disney, because that's just what we do, or if you will, this time of the year as a family, that is not going to help you to become a better child of God. It is not going to help you to resist sin. So what was he telling us in Galatians 4? The law is not going to do it for the Jew and ain't going to do it for the Gentile. That cannot help you to say no to that on your in the inside of your heart. But Jesus can, and he personally will if you let him to. So what are we focusing on? We are focusing on building a stronger relationship with Jesus, not the culture, not the former religion, and not the people around us. It doesn't matter if the politics as well, political things, social entertainments, sports, anything or anyone outside of Christ will not help you to become a better Christian or mature as a child of God. It's only faith and the faith of Christ. So, since the Bible is true, why don't we start today by putting away or putting aside all those things? And if it's people, then those people as well. So we can continue to grow in a healthy relationship with God. So some of y'all have those things at home. Some of you guys have those things in the privacy of your heart you don't tell nobody about. I get it. But God does. He knows what those things are. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to repent and cast it off from you. Get the Bible back. Get your heart back on his son and ask his son to start helping you today to be a better child. And he will do that moving forward. Just let him. Let him do it. All right, we're back on the Bible train. Do me a favor. Let's go to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. It's good to see those pages turning in your Bible. Amen. I'm glad to see some of y'all are starting to work out again spiritually. It's good to get fit in the spirit. Amen. Some of y'all work out that flesh. Let's work out that spirit. Amen. And the more you turn where your Bible is, the more you're going to learn it and you're going to increase. As you guys turn there, I'll just do my best to transliterate the meaning of what we're trying to say in certain words in Spanish. La voluntad de Dios y la tema del libro de Galatas es enseñar a lo cristiano la manera en cómo nosotros podemos vivir una vida victorioso siguiendo a Cristo por la fe, no por las obras de la ley que dio a Israel, no por obras buenas o malas que a lo mejor religiones o culturas de nuestro país nos enseñó. Nada de esas cosas nos va a ayudar a ser mejor cristiano. Solamente por la fe de Cristo en nosotros y nosotros siguiendo a Él en nuestro corazón, Él nos va a ayudar a resistir el pecado adentro del corazón, nada más y nadie más. Okay, look at Psalm 101. Look at what the Bible says starting in verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I hope that's some of you here today who have that desire. But look at verse number 3 and 4. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Some of you here today, what do you need to do? You need to get with the Word of God. You need to start, if you will, perfecting and maturing your heart before God, and you need to start making an agreement with God. You need to start giving God some vows and some desires and some petitions by saying, Lord, I'm going to get my heart right with you. I know it hasn't been right with you in this past couple of months, maybe hours, maybe days, maybe years. But starting today, God, that thing that I've been watching, I ain't going to watch it no more. That thing that I've been listening to, I'm not going to listen to it no more. Because I know that those things are not going to help me to stay focused on Jesus. I'm going to start today. So you know what? Look at what King David said. I'm going to order my heart right. I'm going to get my heart right with you. And I'm going to start today by making an agreement before you, Lord. I'm going to make this, if you will, this petition. I am not going to put a wicked thing before mine eyes. That's what's going to help you to start living spiritually, if you will. Some of you guys still watch entertainment with nudity. Some of you guys still watch entertainment with curse words and profanity. That ain't going to help you. That ain't going to help you. Who's going to help you? The Son of God, the Word of God. So I just want to encourage you with that. All right, let's go to Psalm 86. These are just some practical verses that I just want to share with you that can help you today starting in the right direction. Look at Psalm 86 and turn with me to verse number 5. These are just some applicative verse, just to strengthen you, to start helping you with the walk today. Amen. That's all we're saying. If some of you haven't been living spiritually, y'all been living carnally, a little lukewarm today, I'm just here to tell you there's good news. If you call upon him and ask you to forgive you, he will. But after you ask him to forgive you, put in some effort now in starting to make a better choice. That's all I'm saying in love, all right? Look at Psalm 86, verse 5. The Bible says, "For thou, Lord, are good." Can somebody read those three words right there? He's ready to forgive. How about that? That's the good news. So, Brother Carlos, I haven't been the best Christian I can be. Are you ready to start being today? Yes. What do? Ask God to forgive you and move on. Start being a better Christian today. Bible says, "And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Go down with me to verse number 11. Bible says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." That's a good prayer request. That's a great prayer request. Ask God to unite your heart to fear him. Ask God to unite your heart with his desires, his will for your life. And perhaps, brother and sister, that's what's going to make some changes with everything else going on in your life. Don't leave today without asking God to forgive you. And don't leave today without asking God to teach this heart how to be a better child of his. Look at 12. "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Can I just remind you, Christian friend, some of you here today haven't been to church in a minute. Some of y'all haven't been as a good of a Christian as you ought to be. God has a lot of mercy for you. He has plenty of mercy. He has plenty of compassion and plenty of forgiveness. What do I want to implore you to do? Ask him to forgive you today and make a decision and an effort right now to start moving forward in a better direction for your life. That's all I'm trying to encourage you to do. Don't keep beating yourself up. Don't keep entertaining all the condemnation. Oh man, I'm a bad dude. I'm wicked. You're right. That's what the Bible says. But if you ask him to forgive you and you ask him to teach you, he will. But now he's going to expect for you to start making a choice. You got to start, if you will, making some investment now with this spiritual walk with God. He'll help you all the way. Let's talk about Israel. Let's go to Psalm 105. I need you to do me a favor. Keep your base text open, Galatians chapter number 4, because this is going to be very important for us to understand now the rest of our lesson. A lot of that was just teaching application, just encourage you. You know who you are here today. But now we're going to start giving you some a little bit more doctrine concerning Israel. So just forbear with me, all right? Y'all need to just do your best to follow along now with what we're discussing. Have your Bible open in Galatians 4. Have it base text there. And then follow along with me, perhaps on the projector, for the remaining verses. So notice what Paul said there in Galatians chapter 4. We have to, if you will, try to realize the context of historically the groups that he's writing unto. So generally, from verses 1 through 7, he is addressing those that were saved out from Judaism. And then verses 8 through 21, he is addressing those that were saved out from a Gentile background. This cultural context is going to help you to understand why it is that he is writing to Jews in a certain way with certain words and certain terminologies, and why it is that he's writing to Gentiles with a certain way and certain terminologies. So again, verse 1 through number 7 is generally addressing those saved out from Judaism, that is Hebrews, and then verse 8 through 21, those saved out from a Gentile background. So notice what he said there in Galatians 4 in verse number 1 through 3. He says, "I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we," he's speaking now as a Jew, just like he did in Galatians chapter 2. He says the same thing. I'm a Jew. We're Jews. Here's why we need Jesus. He said, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Now listen, verse 5. "To redeem them that were under the law." Who were they? The nation of Israel, or Hebrews. "That we," again, Paul is speaking as a Jew, "we might receive the adoption of sons." So what does that tell me? If Jews needed to receive the adoption of sons, then just by them being born as a Jew doesn't mean that they were automatically right with God. And number two, even more so, if they weren't being faithful to God's laws, if you will, then they weren't being an upright Jew living as a representative of him and his laws in the land of Israel. So what does this tell us? that Jews need to be born again just as much as Gentiles need to be born again. They cannot just simply go to their first birth identity and say, I'm good with God just because of my birth. I'm a Jew. I'm circumcised. Abraham's my great-great-granddaddy. No, 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 friend. You're a child underneath the bondage of the elements of this world. And what is that bondage? Verse number 5, the law. Okay, so now listen. Let's go to Psalm 105. We're going to give you some doctrine. Now let's go to verse number 6. Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 6, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. I've already taught you this many times. Not sure where a lot of you guys are theologically. But who was elect of God according to the Old Testament? The nation of Israel. They were chosen of God to be the recipients of his laws. That's in a nutshell. You don't need to, if you will, get too confused about it. Bible says, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. For those of you who have been with us on our Friday nights, that's we've been learning that. Remember that? And confirm the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Do you see there? And then so on and so forth. So what am I just trying to remind you guys? God made a promise to one man by the name of Abraham. He confirmed it with his offspring, Isaac, Jacob. And after that, he eventually gave them a law. But the law does not change the promise. The law does not alter the original promise given Abraham as an everlasting covenant. The law was added later to point out to them sin, sins, and more sins, and this is how you get right while you're living before me in that land. You see there, it doesn't alter that, but I'm just here to let you know, those are his covenant people. So people who want to say that the Jews aren't the covenant people of God, they are wrong. It's not the Mexicanos, and it's not the Mormons in Utah, amen. It ain't the JWs from New York, it ain't none of them. It's the people of Israel. Go down to verse 44. Bible says here, verse number 44, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. So what did he do? He redeemed this small remnant of people out of Egypt. He took them out from bondage. You guys remember the story. He led them to the wilderness. A lot of them died because of their unbelief, Hebrews tells us. But for that faithful Jew that made it all the way, here they are, they make it to the promised land, and they begin to populate again. But for what purpose? So they can keep his laws. So they can be a representative of him before the rest of the Gentiles living on the planet. But were they faithful to God and his laws? Were the Jews upright in every single generation that they've lived in unto the time of Christ? Were they absolutely spotless, keeping every single jot and tittle of the law? Well, before you entertain a commentary, why don't we just go to the Bible? Is that all right? Let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And we're pointing this out to you so that way you can see now why it is that Jew needs to be born again. Just like the Mexican, just like the Russian, just like the Chinese. Because once you break what God's end of the agreement is, the covenant or a testimony or the law, you come into condemnation. There's only one who could free you from that. And as we've been learning, that's his son, Jesus Christ. So now let's go here. Psalm 78, verse number 5. Again, you can look up to the screen. Not a problem. The Bible says here, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Okay. Verse number 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. By the way, side nugget, you want to know why you should read your Bible every single day is so that way the Bible points to you back in your heart who you need to hope in every single day, who you need to trust in every single day, who you need to rely on every single day, and so you don't forget God. That's a good side nugget there. That was free. All right, now listen, verse number 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So what do we have here? God made a covenant. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, over the years, they're populating. Moses comes on the scene. He gives that generation of Israelites the law. Exodus 21. But that generation, according to the Holy Spirit, what were they? They were stubborn. They were rebellious. Their heart was not right. They were unbelieving. So what did God do? He killed them. He cut them off, and he worked with their children, and hence as you continue to see, as we move on throughout centuries and centuries, those Jews whose heart was right because they had faith in God, those are the ones through whom he preserved. But everyone else, what did he say? Man, they weren't listening to me. They were being stubborn. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. So tell me, were the nation of Israel as a whole, were they always being obedient to the demands of God's laws, or were they forgetful? They were forgetful. Were they being faithful to every requirement, or were they forgetful? They were forgetful. Were they refusing to walk in God's laws? Yes, they were. And as a consequence of them not meditating on the laws of God, look at verse number 11, and forget his works and his wonders that he showed in the land. Go down with me to verse 21. Look at what the Bible says. Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because they believed not in God. And listen, and trusted not in his salvation. So why was God angry with this generation of Israelites? What's the answer, church? Anybody here with me? They believed not in God. They did not trust in his salvation. That's the answer. So again, it's not confusing. It's only confusing when you let a Christian traditionalist and everyone else try to confuse you too much about, well, here's, no, it's right there. That Hebrew who had that law and they received it, here's how he's right with God, because he trusts God. He trusts God. Bottom line, that covenant, the law, the New Testament already told you, it can't make their soul right with God, and it won't keep them from sinning against God. It's a right relationship with God that does. So with those Hebrews or that generation, he's wroth. He has anger against those that, if you will, don't trust him and don't trust in him for their salvation. So why would the Holy Spirit now tell a Hebrew apostle like Paul to write to these Jews after Christ and who would become Christians? Because what is he trying to point them out to? There was a man by the name of Abraham. You guys remember that? And he had certain steps before God. And when he walked in those steps, God approved of this man. And he was to be the example of all of his offspring. And if they were to walk in the steps of Abraham, they would be accounted as faithful with Abraham. Let me show you. Just look up to the screen. Look at Romans chapter 4, and then I'm going to show you Romans chapter 9. Look at Romans chapter 4, and then I'll show you Romans chapter 9. This is real important. Like I said, there's a little bit of doctrine today, if you will, and then we'll get back to our study moving forward. But you have to rehearse this so you can understand why he makes references to Jews and then Gentiles. We're just talking about the Jews first. Look at here real quick, Romans chapter 4, verse 12, talking about Abraham. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of what? That faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Abraham's faith was the condition of justification and righteousness with God. So Jews being born of Abraham who did not follow Daddy Abraham's faith, no wonder why they were not accounted for the promise. And that's what we're going to learn about in Galatians 4. All right, let me show you one more. Look at Romans chapter 9. This is just a quick, we're just going to interweave this with our study. Look at verse 30, Romans 9, verse 30. The Bible says here, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of what? There you have it. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? Because they sought it not by, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, etc., etc. So what did that Jew try their best to do? They tried to become distracted purposefully and taking their attention off the lawgiver to have a right relationship with him from the heart. And they took his laws and they made a whole religious system out of it. And if nobody followed the traditions of this and that law, then they would judge and measure each other by their own works over here, circumcision and all that. And that's how they measure themselves over here to declare a man just or right before God. That's what the Pharisees were doing all the time during the ministry of Christ. But what was God's desire and intent of his people? That they would have faith and just trust in him for their salvation. They didn't want to. So look at that. What did Paul tell the Jews in Galatians chapter 4 who became Christians? Why are you trying to return back under the elements of bondage? You were children of the covenant, but you became a servant under what? The tutor and the governing ship of the law. But when you asked Jesus Christ to save you, O Hebrew, he did. He redeemed you. He reconciled you to God because he gave you a new heart. He adopted you as a son of God. You're no longer underneath the bondage and the elements of the law, but in Christ. He's far superior. Why are you trying to go back now? That's what he's warning the Jews who became Christians. So you see how we have to build it up so you guys can get that understanding. So just because Jews are the physical offspring of Abraham's covenant does not mean that that gives each Hebrew a pass on their personal repentance and need to be saved by trusting Jesus. Jews who were the original recipients of the law could never be declared righteous for the salvation of their soul with works or deeds solely, only by their personal faith and trust in God's mercy. I showed you some of those Psalms. Some other ones you can read in your own time. Psalm 52, verse 8. Psalm 32, you can read those on your own time. So, by what means has the nation of Israel survived then all these years? Although they lived in rebellion against Abraham's covenant and rejected the Messiah? The mercy of God. Look it with me to the screen. Psalm 78. Let's go back there. I'm going to just show you these on the screen. We're just going to go to these quickly. We're just going to read these, all right? We're just going to read these. Look at Psalm chapter number 78. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 38. Psalm 78, verse number 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Aren't you glad about God's grace and mercy? Anybody out here? Some of y'all sometimes would sin. Some of y'all would turn your back on Jesus after you became a Christian. But you know what? Your Savior has. He has compassion on you. And sometimes he was about to do something with you. He was going to do something against you. And you know what? Perhaps God had a little bit more mercy to say, just a little bit longer. I'm going to let Carlos get it right over here. I'm going to let Felipe get it right over here. Giovanni, Jamie, all of us. He's just waiting on us to get that thing right before he begins to stir up everything that he could rightfully do to get us and chastise us to help us to get a purer life. I'm just telling you, he is a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Look at Psalm chapter 85. Psalm 85, like I said, we're just going through this quickly. Don't worry. Psalm 85, verse 2. The Bible says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. So who does that? God. Who forgives the nation of Israel for their shortcomings? God. His mercy. That's what does it. Look it with me later on in verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord. Grant unto us thy salvation. Couple of more. Look at Psalm 98. I'm sorry, Psalm 99. Psalm 99. Look with me in verse number 8. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. So what did he do? He forgave them, but he still spanked them up. Amen. He still chastised them because they were still deserving of certain things throughout history. You guys understand. But again, who forgives them? It's God. He's the God of their salvation. And then one more, Psalm 130, verse number 4. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. So what am I pointing out to you? The nation of Israel, all they could hope in is in the mercy and in the compassion of their God to forgive their sin on the inside. That's all. That's all they had hope for and trust in. And that's what God desired. He desired for them to love him and to desire him so much and personally. And when they would be forgiven, you know what his desire was? That they wouldn't want to sin against him again and again and again. And you know what, Christian? It's the same thing for you principally. When you ask God to forgive you as a Christian, you know what he does? He forgives you because you're in Christ. But what does God not want you to do? He doesn't want you to keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. See that? That's good. All right, so what's God's will for his physical called out people? It was for them to love him and to trust in him continually for their salvation and their preservation. Let's read together. Let's go back on our Bible train. You can turn now with me to Psalm chapter 81. And as you can see today, church, I'm glad you came to a Bible-believing church. We're just showing you scripture. That's it. I'm not here saying the Lord spoke to me last night and gave me a vision. No, I'm just going back to the Bible, and this is how we're going to build our Christian faith. This man, that good old Bible, let's see what it has. Amen. Bless you. So look at with me now in Psalm 81. Turn your Bible there and open it up to verse number 11. We are learning what, for those of you guys tuning back in, we are learning that the nation of Israel, they were children of the covenant, but they became servants because they became in bondage to the law's demands. The law cannot do nothing for them. It was the owner, all right, and if they weren't living right, condemnation, because the law calls out their sin. But here comes the Son of God, the Messiah, who was prophesied from that law, and if that Jew looks to the Messiah and asks him to save them, he will. He frees them from the condemnation and the tutorship of the law. They no longer need that. The Holy Spirit giving them a new heart can help them now to love one another, to do what the law has required of them to do, but willingly, not by force. But these Jews were being perverted. Remember Galatians 1. They were being bewitched, Galatians 3, to want to go back to the law of bondage rather than staying in a relationship of freedom. Let's repeat that. The Jews were being bewitched, Galatians 3. They were being fooled and perverted, Galatians 1, by going back to the law of bondage rather than staying in a relationship with freedom. Look at Psalm 81, verse 11. Bible says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. You know what's sad? When you don't want to read your Bible and you don't want to pray, that grieves God's heart because you don't want to listen to him. I'm just telling you today, friend, you know what? He does love you in Christ, and he will preserve your soul in Christ. And if you're going to spend eternity with God and listening to him, why don't you get a hold of your flesh and listen to him every day, amen? Just one chapter at least. Y'all start there and then keep on building up, amen? All right, now look at here, between him and Israel, that's what we're talking about. Look at verse 12. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. But is that what God's desire was and will for his people? No. Look at verse number 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries, etc., etc. Who did God want that Jew to focus on? Him. Who did God want that Hebrew to desire and meditate on and worship more than the image or the statue or the idol and even the letter of the law? Him personally. But that's where it starts. If you today came to church and, yeah, you're fulfilling some requirements, coming to church, you're not forsaking, that's good. But if you didn't come for him personally, then you're grieving God. Don't come here to be religious. Don't come here to please your pastor because I'm a wretched man. I hope today that you have a desire to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because it's only that personal relationship that's going to strengthen your faith today. Amen. Look with me to Psalm 81. Psalm 89. I apologize. Psalm 89. Look with me in verse number 3 and 4. This is going to be good. Psalm 89. Verse 3 and 4, again, we're talking about God, Israel, covenant. We're just expositing on this. Look at verse number 3 and 4. God said that he made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Okay, go down with me now to verse number 28, same chapter, Psalm 89. Bible says, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Anybody know what anybody grew up with the sandal or the chancla or the frying pan? Anybody out there growing up, you know what I'm saying? When you didn't listen to daddy and mommy, what did they do? Bam, they done disciplined you, amen. Israel, if you guys don't listen up, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to chastise you. But remember, he is a God of what? Compassion, mercy. Remember that? Look at 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Friend, let me just give you the side nugget. You know why you can't lose your salvation? Because God's faithfulness will not fail you. You know why you still have hope? Every single day you wake up, an ability to find mercy and forgiveness with God every day, even though you sin, you make mistakes, you do things you shouldn't, look at things you shouldn't, listen to things you shouldn't, and in your heart, lust after things you shouldn't, it's because the God that you put your faith in, he doesn't allow his faithfulness to fail like you allow your faithfulness to fail. So do you know why? No man is justified by the works of the law or deeds of the law, because it requires the faithfulness of that sinner to not fail. But it fails every single time. But there's one man's faith who didn't fail God. And who's that man? Jesus Christ. And by his faith, that's how you're saved today. So let's watch this now. Look at 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. All right, let me give you a side nugget. Another reason, friend, why you cannot lose your salvation as a Christian is because God said, I will not break my covenant. I will not lie like you've lied before. I will not say, I'm going to do this for you, God, and you don't end up doing it. Many of us, amen. And when God said, I will do this for you, if you trust me, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do the thing that he said he's going to do. Today, friend, the reason why you will not lose your salvation as a Christian is because the faith of God cannot and will not be altered no matter what you do and no matter what you do against him. You can read that in Romans chapter 3. Let me give you a third side nugget. Christian, do you know why you can't lose your salvation in Jesus Christ? Because God will not break his covenant that he made with his son. When you called upon the son to save you, he did. And the son will forever preserve your soul because the father made a promise to his son that whosoever believes in him will be saved. You say, Carlos, show me. I will. Two verses. Quick, look up at the screen. John chapter number 12. And then I'll show you John chapter number 6. Watch this. John 12. And then we'll go to John chapter number 6. Look at verse number 50. Anybody here excited for Jesus? Anybody here? Anybody happy to know that no matter how faithless and wretched and messed up and wicked I will be until Jesus comes to get me, he will still be faithful to me. Anybody still happy for that? I am. I am. Look at John 12, verse number 50. The Bible says, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And then let me show you the second one. Look at John 6. And then look with me up here to verse number 40. John 6, verse number 40. The Bible says here, friend, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Aren't you glad about that? And I will raise him up at the last day. So the Father makes a covenant and a promise with the Son. Son, whoever calls upon you from down there, that Jew or that Gentile, that black man, that white man, that drug addict, that porn addict, that sinner over here, that wicked man over there, if they call upon you, Son, here's what I'll do. I will save their soul. I'll preserve them because you're faithful. Because you're righteous, and I'm going to credit that sinner, that drug addict, that messed up gangster, this person over here who's suffering from all these drug addictions and depression, blah, 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 he will do that because the Father made a promise with his Son. Do you see now? Do you see how Jesus is superior to the law? Do you see how Jesus and the love that the Father has with him and the love that he wants to give to you is superior to the law that could never do that for your soul? So that's the good news. That is the warning that he's telling these Jewish believers. He is telling them and warning them against the trap of the bondage of the law, and he is encouraging them to remain in the freedom of having a relationship with Jesus. Let's go back to our base text, Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter 4. Anybody here excited for Jesus? Anybody? All right, hope you are. Hope you are. He's better. He's better, amen. And that's what our church is all about. We're all about Jesus. We want to exalt Jesus above tradition. Because traditions couldn't do a doggone thing for us, amen? For those of you who don't know what doggone means, it just means a simple thing, amen? It couldn't do anything for you, all right? All right, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll read it again. Verse number 1 through 11. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Let me skip down a little bit. Go with me now to verse number 6. After these Jews became Christians, they received the adoption. Verse 5, when they become Christians, then they are the sons of God. You see there? When they become a Christian, then they're born again. Then they receive the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Now listen, verse number 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And of a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So do you know what that Jew has that is superior than the law? They have an heirship. They have an heirship with God in the Messiah. Same thing for you, Gentile. Your religion, your culture, your skin color, associations and politics and everything else, you had another son that couldn't do nothing for you because you were a servant under the law. But when you asked Jesus Christ to save you, he did. He redeemed you and he made you free. And now God, because of the promise and the covenant he gave his son, you became an heir of God. You have a superior inheritance in Jesus Christ than anything that you ever had while you were on this planet. It doesn't matter what political thing you might like. It doesn't matter what social entertainment you might like. It doesn't matter your former cultural celebrations you celebrated before you became a Christian. What are we trying to point out to you today is that being a Christian is better than being a Mexican, being an American, being an African, being a black man, being a white man. Being a Christian and celebrating Jesus Christ is better than, if you will, the birthday parties and the holidays and the Halloweens and the Christmases and all the other isms and, if you will, traditions that you had. Being a Christian and focusing on the person of Jesus Christ is superior. That's all I'm trying to point out to you today before we close. Let's keep reading here. Go back here to verse number 2. But even so we, Paul is speaking again as a Jew, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So remember, Jews, children of the covenant made with who? Abraham, Isaac, anybody out there? Jacob, they're children. They are heirs, if you will, of the covenant that God made with Daddy Abraham. They have all these laws, the promises in the land of Israel, all that. And that's going to still come to pass. But notice, they were in bondage under the elements of the world. Why? Because as soon as they transgressed the laws of God, they became a servant underneath the condemnation of the law's duty. But, verse number 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, just like the Hebrews were that whole time, to redeem them that were what? Under the law, that we, that's the Jew, might receive the adoption of sons. So what are we pointing out to you? He is addressing those saved out from Judaism, and the cultural context here is very different from United States of America Christianity, or if you will, households that owned others with servants, differing between those situations and today's time and, if you will, society we live in. To Israelites, God affirms that they indeed were the children of the covenant, and yet their practical living was no different than a servant. Saved Jews, here's the Spirit of God reminding them that their inheritance in Christ exceeds the covenant of Abraham. But what's the warning? Why return to servant state as a lost Jew with Old Testament deeds versus enjoying the freedom and newness of life in Christ? An application for some of you today that are Gentiles in the flesh, again, Mexican, American, whatever you are, if you weren't a Jew by birth, when you still desire to celebrate holidays, let's go down there. We'll get you a little bit before we close. Look, watch this, verse number 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Those are your forefathers, whoever you are, who were not Jews by nature, because your forefathers were not given the revelation of God. Some of my forefathers, again, you already know the land of Mexico and the various tribes out there, they were worshiping the rivers and all that stuff. But now we become a Christian, right? Some of us in time. The Bible says, but now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? What is that? Ye observe days, months, times, and years. Can you think about with me, Gentile Christian here today, who sometimes of the year, y'all just like to celebrate a little tradition. Y'all just like to honor a custom. Y'all just like to do something because that's how you grew up as a Gentile when you did not know the true God. And you thought that that gave you satisfaction, coming together with the family, drinking it up for this tradition that we have. You know what the Bible says? Why would you desire something that is weak? Why would you desire something that is beggarly? Why would you desire something that is inferior to Jesus Christ? So today, I'm going to leave you there. Here's a good news for all of us here today. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what lifestyle we've come out of, when you called upon Jesus Christ to save you, he established a right relationship between you and your maker. Now, God knows who you are when you became a Christian. Before, he didn't know who you were. You were just another sinner, an enemy of his, because again, you transgressed his laws on your way to hell. But when you responded to his mercy and his grace through his son Jesus, you know what he did? He saved you. And when he saved you, he gave you something so much more better than that Christmas present. He gave you something so much better than that pumpkin on Halloween. He gave you something so much better than the pan dulce you eat with the Mexicano families and the American football parties over here and all the politics. You know what he gave you? The Holy Spirit. And now that you have the Holy Spirit of God, you have an availability with God to have a great relationship and to be taught personally how to say no to sin in here so that way you can live a better life out there. But what happens, Brother Carlos? Why do I find myself desiring a beggarly thing? Why do I find myself desiring to be in bondage again? It's because your flesh, you just give into it. You are entertaining too much more of your flesh than you are the Spirit of God in you. So what do you need to do? Just like we read earlier in the Psalms, you need to call upon the Lord. Remember, he's rich in mercy to forgive all them that call upon him. That's all you got to do. Ask God to forgive you right now. Ask him to forgive you today. And the next step you take, brother and sister, considering what you just said to God, all right, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I haven't been as faithful of a Christian as I can be. I know I haven't been as spiritual and zealous for the things of God. I've been wasting my time with entertainments, worldly things. But right now, Lord, I just want to ask you to forgive me. When that next step and chance happen of opportunity of you and life, choose Jesus Christ every single time. And when you fail again, what did the Bible remind you of today? The reason why you're still going to be saved and right with God is because his faithfulness will never, if you will, be lost. His faithfulness will never be belittled. He will not suffer his faithfulness. So in the end of the day, what I want to encourage you with, you can start living a victorious Christian life today, moving forward, no matter what happened today or yesterday. But you're just going to have to desire the Son of God more than those things. You're going to have to desire the Son of God more than the beggarly things of this world. I don't care if it's drugs, if it's social entertainment, if it's parties, if it's friends. For some of us, obviously, we're not Jews trying to, you know, be circumcised and all that stuff. We're not trying to do all that. But you know who you are. You have something better. That's the Holy Spirit. You have Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we come to a close in prayer, if you are now an heir of God, daughter and son, again, it doesn't matter if you're physically still poor. Amen. Brother Carlos, right? I don't got it all. Amen. Notice, you are an heir of God because you're in his son, Jesus. You have an eternal inheritance coming. You have far more riches than any person on this earth as a Christian. Why do you want to keep living as a servant if you're an heir? Don't live as a servant. Live as a free heir of God in Christ, being as faithful as you can be with him. He wants to help you with that. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, once again, I just want to thank you for the word of God. Lord, I'm just so thankful for Jesus Christ. Lord, today you reminded me from the study that you will not suffer your faithfulness to be little. You will not change no matter how much I've changed over the years, God. I'm thankful, Father, that from the moment that I called upon your son, Jesus Christ, to save my soul, you saved it. Because your Bible told me you cannot lie. You gave that covenant. You gave that promise to your son. Whosoever will shall be saved. And I believed in him. But my God, my problem has been over the years not being faithful. You know that. My problem, God, over the years has been desiring the world again and the beggarly things again to try to satisfy me, to try to make me right or more spiritual, but they can't. Your Bible just told me. So today, God, I pray as an example to our flock, that you would help me to desire your son, Jesus, more than the beggarly elements of this world, more than the culture, more than the family, more than my friends. God, help me to love Jesus and to desire Jesus so that way your son can help me to have victory over sin within my life. Father, I thank you for every single member that came here to church today. Thank you for every friend, every visitor. I just ask and pray now, God, that your Holy Spirit would take the things that we learned today as they read the scriptures. They saw it. They intellectually heard it. They audibly heard it. Now I just pray that they spiritually believe in it. I pray that they respond to you emotionally. I pray that they respond to you with everything they got in there to call upon your son to keep helping them to be a better child of God. Father, strengthen our church members not to live as servants underneath the beggarly things. Help them to live as victorious heirs of one day that amazing eternal joy they're going to have with you in the kingdom of God. So, Father, I thank you. Help us now to enjoy the rest of our day living for you with the freedom you've given us and your power. I thank you now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Thanks for coming today. Please stick around for fellowship if you like. Hope that you enjoyed it. And I just hope you have a good rest of your day, man. May the Lord bless you.